gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. This week we'll celebrate Christmas, been designated as December 25th, but no one really knows that exact date when the Lord was born, do they? Some believe he was conceived on December 25th. Some believe he was born perhaps in the spring or early fall. But we know one thing, he was born. We have that account in Matthew and Luke. And we have it prophesied. The words of Isaiah, 700 years or so before the Lord was born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this has been mentioned before. A child is born speaks of his humanity. We read in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A son is given speaks of his deity. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's because of God's perfect gift we can have a right relationship with him. Without this gift, we would have no hope. We would still be in our sin. We'd still be in Adam, some say. We'd be under the penalty of sin, separated from God. Well, as I mentioned last week, when I thought I was going to speak, and then they changed, and I'm speaking again, so thank the Lord for the opportunity. This is a bad news, good news message. Now, usually that's backwards. We say good news, bad news. But it talks about our first birth and our second birth, and how that first we're one in Adam. And then secondly, by faith, we can be one in Christ. And that's the message, one in Adam, one in Christ. This past July, we had our vacation Bible school. It was entitled The Incredible Race. It spoke of one family, one race, and one Savior. And that got me thinking, that really prompted this message. One race, speaking of the human race, how that we're all truly from Adam, or one in Adam. One Savior, spiritually, born again into one eternal family. We've got a green chapel track in the rack out there in the foyer. It's one with a green background. You may want to pick it up. It's got a question. It asks, what do we all have in common? Or what do we have in common? At first it says, we all want to go to heaven. And that's true. But in the second statement, we read, we have a problem. We're all sinners. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. And that's the problem. That's the bad news. All mankind is related through Adam, our great, 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 and a bunch more greats, grandfather. So as we consider one in Adam, we could ask this, if we're all related, which we are, why are we so separated? Why do some even hate their own family members? Well, we know it's because of sin, first and foremost. Sin causes all kinds of problems between man. Jealousy, envy, prejudice, even hatred. It didn't take long for the first murder to occur. Turn to Genesis 4. And I think we see several of these traits lived out. Jealousy and envy, even hatred. Genesis 4, go down to verse 4. You know the story. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desires for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Verse 8, we read this. Now Cain talked with Abel, and I believe it was an argument. It says talk, but I believe it was much more than that. And it led to the death of his own brother, part of his family. Again, if we're all related through Adam, what's besides sin separates us? Well, perhaps the color of our skin, our nationality, our religious or political views or convictions, social standings, wealth, or lack thereof, or appearance. Something our vacation Bible school brought out this past July was our skin color. And we asked the question, are white people really white? And are black people really black? Well, I'm white, so I hold this up here, and it doesn't really match, does it? And I believe if you would hold a black piece of paper to what we call a black person, they wouldn't exactly match either. Well, actually, we're all different shades of brown. Remember what Adam was made from? Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man from the dust of the ground. Well, what color is ground or dirt? We think of it as brown. I know in Georgia it's red, but mostly it's brown. Skin pigmentation or color is affected by many things. Melanin, exposure to the sun, tissue under skin, and even the hemoglobin in our veins. A few months ago, right after vacation Bible school, I met a brother in the Lord. His car tag said, praise the Lord. Mine says, one Lord. So that led to us fellowshipping for a few minutes, good time. Well, he happened to be black, and I shared about vacation Bible school and what we discussed, how we're all related through Adam, all the same color, just different shades of brown. He had no problem accepting this thought. Well, when we parted, he shared something that really struck with me. He says, you know, we don't take our skin when we go to heaven. How true that is. Again, we're all one, all related through the first man, Adam. One in Adam. Through Adam, we're part of the same physical family, which is temporal. But if only in Adam and never in Christ, our fate is certain death. Again, the bad news. Death and separation from a holy God. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, judgment. You might remember Adam and Eve's fate. Turn back to Genesis, if you're still there. Genesis 3, verse 22. Genesis 3, verse 22. And this is after the fall, after the sin, disobedience to God. Verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Of course, they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and they were both driven out, and he placed cherubim at the east end of the garden, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Again, Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death spread to all men because all have sinned. One in Adam. Again, we're all born into this physical family. But as the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:7, you must be born again. The first Adam brought death. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has been called the last Adam, brings life. What a gift we just sang about. Through Jesus Christ, we can all be part of the same spiritual family, part of God's eternal family. Adam speaks of physical, temporal. Lord Jesus Christ speaks of spiritual, eternal, true unity. Again, thinking of the Vacation Bible School, the theme verse was Revelation 7, 9 through 10, which says this, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues." I'm sure there are many different colors standing there, different shades of brown. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This Bible verse speaks of a future time when all will gather. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the Lamb, will stand together, once again unified as God wanted us to be from the beginning. We'll be stand before God's throne of grace and praise. Take a red hymn book. We're going to sing two verses, maybe get a glimpse of that glory that we look forward to. Number 61 in the red book. We'll sing it a cappella. We're fine. You can sing along too. Give me a minute to find it. Just picture that scene in heaven when the multitude. We may not have a multitude, but we have many voices. So let's just praise the Lord as we get a glimpse of a time in the future. Praise the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Praise Him, hallelujah. Bless Him, hallelujah. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. One more verse, verse 2. Thou redeems our souls to God. Thou redeems our souls to God. Thou redeems our souls to God by thy blood. Praise Him, hallelujah. Bless Him, hallelujah. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Thank you for singing. Scripture contrasts our life in Adam and our new life in Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 22. First Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Alive in Christ. Now turn over to verses 45 through 47. 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It's the Lord's desire for us to be one, just as He and the Father are one. We could think of John 17. It's been called Christ's high priestly prayer. You know, many consider this the real Lord's Prayer. We could think of in Matthew 6, 19, 9 through 15, which many call the Lord's Prayer. It actually should be called the model prayer. It's part of Jesus' teaching on prayer starting in Matthew 6, verse 5. But back to the high priestly prayer. John 17, 1 through 5, Jesus prays for Himself. In 6 through 20, verses 6 through 20, Jesus prays for His disciples. And then this is our part. In verses 20 to 21, Jesus prays for us. Turn there, John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20 and 21. These are the Lord's words. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me. And that's us, those who will. What a blessing. Those who will believe in me through their word, the word of the disciples, those who share God's good news, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. One, unity. We read that when we act as one body, the universal church, I believe this is speaking of, others will notice. And the Lord states in John 17, 21, that the world may believe. Our nature in Adam is not unified. Even in the church today, there's so many divisions, many different denominations, beliefs, interpretations, and applications of God's word. Our new nature in and through Christ is to be unified. It's his desire, a witness to the world of his love and desire that we be one in him. A couple verses that speak of that. Turn to Galatians 3. And verse 26. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In those two verses, the word one was used seven times. And then Romans 12, verse 4. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the same members do not have the same function, so we, being many members, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I'll ask Betty to put a song that we used to sing years ago up on the board. It talks about being part of the family of God. I don't know how many may have ever sung this before. Oh, we have a few over here. I knew you knew it. Let's sing this together as we think about being part of that wonderful family. I'm so glad to be part of the family. Well, let me start again here. You know that one? Well, I'm going to wait for that. All right. For those who are listening on tape, our sister Priscilla is going to play the music. Part of our family, helping out again. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this time. Yes, I'm part of the family. The family of God. Let's do it one more time. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain,
cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. Yes, I'm part of the family of God.
Thank you, sister. Are you part of the family of God? I believe everyone here is, but I don't know the heart, and I know this is broadcast to the internet, so perhaps someone hearing the message has not yet been born again into the family. Turn to Romans 8. If you still have Romans, just go back to 8. Romans 8 down to verse 14 through 17. Romans 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It was a blessing this morning to have that thought in the worship meeting where we can cry, Abba, Father. What wonderful things, what unity, what oneness is mentioned in these few verses. We're sons of God. Receive the Holy Spirit of adoption. Children of God, joint heirs with Christ. We can be thankful that God's Holy Spirit was sent to convict those in Adam, those in sin, of their sin, and God's righteousness and his judgment that would surely come. Again, I pray that any hearing this message today have been convicted of their sin. Turn to God. Bible calls that repentance, just a change of heart, mind, and direction, and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. You can go from that bad news situation to the good news. This is the only way man can cease from being one in Adam and become one in Jesus Christ, part of God's family. One in Christ. When we're in Christ, we're part of the body of Christ, his universal body. Christ is the true head of this body, his church. The Lord spoke of this in Matthew 16. Look up Matthew 16. Matthew 16, go down to verse 15, 15 through 18. He said to them, and this is the Lord speaking, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This rock is speaking of Christ himself, a statement tied back to Peter saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some say that the rock is referring to Peter, but his name meant little stone. So we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians 1. Down to verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 say this. For he, speaking of the Father, put all things under his feet, his, speaking of the Lord there, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Again, Christ is the head of the body, the church. When we're in Adam, we're physically related. But when we're in Christ, we're spiritually related. We can be all thankful for our first birth, or we wouldn't be here today, wouldn't we? But we can be more thankful for our second birth. That first birth came with a problem. We were under sin's curse, its penalty, its power, and its presence. Again, more thankful for our second, our spiritual birth from above. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're free from the penalty of sin. He's paid the price. We can be free from the power of sin in our life. A verse I quote many times, James 4:7 tells us, if we submit to God, resist the devil or Satan, and he will flee from you. I think we need to make sure we follow that progression and not try to resist temptation ourselves. We're to submit to God first and then resist. And then one day, perhaps soon, we'll be called to glory, free from the very presence of sin. I know we all look forward to that day. One in Adam brings no hope. One in Christ brings hope, a hope that will not disappoint. One in Adam, we were sinners. One in Christ, we're considered saints. One in Adam speaks of temporal life. One in Christ, eternal life. One in Adam, we're controlled by the flesh. One in Christ, we should be controlled by the Spirit. One in Adam brings hate at times. One in Christ should bring love at all times. One in Adam, we have no peace. In our hearts, there's no peace in the world. But one in Christ brings peace, the Prince of Peace. One in Adam, we seek to please ourselves. One in Christ, we should seek to please God and our Lord. God loved man. He loved us. We could say he loved me enough to send his own son to redeem us from our sin and bring us from a relationship with Adam into a new relationship with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Being one in Christ allows us to enter into God's eternal family and access into his glorious presence. One day we will not only be with him, the Lord Jesus, the scripture tells us in 1 John 3:2, we'll be like him. It's hard to comprehend. I know we'll have glorified bodies like his, but past that I can't see where we'd ever be like him. The scripture says we will. Well, let us seek now to be more like Christ day by day. No longer in Adam, putting the old things away, as Paul said, striving forward. But be more like Christ. Jesus said, learn of me. Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Paul also wrote, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What a blessing to be one in Christ. Turn to number, I'll let everyone sing this time, 406. A more familiar song, perhaps. We'll sing a few verses of this. It talks about unity with Christ. And then after we sing this, dismiss in prayer, and we'll be dismissed for the day. 406.
By grace that love to know, gracious Spirit from above, thou hast taught me here to sow. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which has no I am his and he is mine. In
verse 2.
Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue, Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine.
Verse 4.
His forever, only His, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am His and He is mine. But while God and I shall be, I am His and He is mine.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that I am He and He is mine. I'm His. And Lord, as we think back to our time in our own life when we were in Adam, in sin, Lord, and with no hope, we thank You that You sent Your Spirit to convict us of the need to repent, to turn to Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work, and that we can be born again from above into His family, one in Christ. And Lord, in that split second, we went from a brief life on earth, just a vapor, as Your word tells us, to an eternity that we'll spend with You and all the glories of heaven and all that You have for us. We look forward to that time. May we be encouraged by that in the coming days. And Lord, we would pray for any that are hearing this message now or in the future days, months, or years, Lord, as these are being saved, that anyone who has not yet seen themselves as a sinner would agree with You and Your word that they need to be saved for time and eternity. Continue to work in all our hearts, Lord, and help us to be better servants of the One who saved us. We do thank You for the good group You've brought us today, Lord, for many that can't be with us, but on occasion. Lord, I thank You for Matthew. I pray You'll continue to bless this to Your brother. Bless him as he serves not only our nation, but You. Keep him safe. We hope we can see him again soon. Lord, as we dismiss now to our various homes and fellowship meals, Lord, today, we just pray that You'll bless our time together and continue to encourage us through Your word. And Lord, I would pray for the New Year's Day conference. Lord, coming up, we pray for Johnny Gordon and Alan Parks. We do pray for Brother Alan that You've healed his back and he can be with us. Bless these brothers as they bring Your good news as we start a new year. Lord, perhaps You'll come before that. But if not, help us to continue on, gathering with the saints, encouraging one another, serving You. But Lord, if You call us home, we know that would be far better, as Paul said. But until then, encourage us. Thank You for Your wonderful blessings and this time we've had to consider Your word. And for that standing, that new standing we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.